Thank you so much, Josh, for sharing that. Let's just begin our word with some prayer. Lord, we do humble ourselves, and we want to acknowledge that we need your Spirit to reveal your word to us. So I ask that as you use me for the next 30 minutes, you will glorify thyself, glorify thy Son. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so hi everyone. I will be talking about trust today. Wow. So I have picked out a theme verse, and it is... okay. So I hope the letters are much larger so you can actually read them now. People in the back, can you see it?
Yes.
Good, perfect. So... this is from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This is a verse that has carried me through this past year. And when I'm not just here like talking to you guys about a cool verse I found the other day. This is a verse that I've been meditating on, and I have seen it in reality. That is why I want to share it with you guys. So it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So I, first of all, want to encourage both young and old to go ahead and memorize this verse if you haven't already. Memorize and own it for yourself. Okay? Now, as you guys probably know, I'm probably on the younger side in this room right here. But I am making sure to own this verse for myself, because I know that as I live this Christian life, this will continue to help me just walk with the Lord. Because, guys, this Christian life, I mean, I think some of the older brothers and sisters in this room will tell you younger ones that this Christian life isn't easy. So memorize the Word of God, put it in your heart, so then when trials and hardships come up, you'll be able to lean back and fall on him. So once again, you know, I'm talking about trust, right? So what kind of trust am I referring to? Trust in Lord with all your heart. Michael, can you come up here for a second? So back in the day, there was a game called Trust Fall. And can you catch me?
How much you weigh?
160.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, cool. We're good. So Trust Fall, I basically stand, and I have somebody behind me, hopefully, right? And, you know, I just fall back. See? Just like that. Okay, Michael, thank you. You can sit down. So I think that is the type of trust we need to have in the Lord. That's what it means when we should trust in the Lord with all our heart. Because it ruins the point of the game if Michael's behind me and I keep looking back. I'm like, oh, is he going to catch me? So that's the type of trust that the Lord wants us to have on him, right? And some more additional facts about this verse. King Solomon wrote this to his own very son. So he literally addressed his son like, "My son, I write to you." And likewise, in Galatians 3:26, it says that we are the sons of God through faith in Jesus. So take this verse like God is writing to you, you know? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So trust in our Heavenly Father with all our heart, and lean not on our own understanding. I want to take that second part. Lean not on your own understanding. As humans, we grow up, right? With a baby, you go ahead and potty train them. And eventually, you hope that they'll learn how to use the toilet themselves. You know, with Noah and Sarah, eventually you're going to have to potty train Carter, but, you know, hopefully one day he can just go and do it by himself. So it is our natural human tendency to build up experiences. But why does it say, lean not on your own understanding? I think it is good that the Lord actually disciplines us and gives us experience so we can grow. But even when we are the age of Sister Dora here, we should still, I say that very kindly, you know, praise the Lord, we should still rely on the Lord. Even though, you know, Sister Dora, you've been blessed with many years by the Lord. So all this experience, you know, you shouldn't just lean back on it always, but always go back to the Lord, right? Because the Lord is the one that the experience comes from. I try to say that in the nicest way possible. If I said something wrong, you can talk to me afterwards. All right. All right, the last part. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways, whether you like to go to the gym like Elias, or you like to cut wood and go fishing like Patrick, or I don't know what other hobbies you guys have, but whatever it is, acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your paths. Okay? So, bye. Okay, so, you know, it's kind of strange because I went on Google the other day and I searched up motivational quotes, and what popped up is, okay, so believe in yourself. You are enough. If you need something to believe in, start with yourself. So at face level, this looks pretty, you know, pretty motivational, pretty inspirational. It looks good, but hold on a second. Should I really be believing in myself? Am I really enough? And I think from a couple head shakes in this room, we as Christians, or we people who have been raised with the Bible, we would know that, I don't think I'm enough. If I can't save myself for eternity, why would I lean and trust on myself? So here's what the Bible says about, or here's what the Bible says in rebuttal to our current culture. Go ahead. So, this is from Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doings. So, you're telling me I can't even trust my own heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Guess what? Fun fact. You and I, we don't know our hearts really. And so we can't trust ourselves. So whatever the culture is trying to tell us, you know, oh, believe in yourself, you're enough. No, guys, we're really not. We're really not. And that's, you know, part of the reason why, a big reason why most of us here are saved now is because we realized we had a big lack. That's what drove us to Jesus. That's the gospel right there. We are not enough to save ourselves. Thus, we have to run to Jesus. All right, I think, boom. Okay, so once again, I'm talking about trusting in the Lord, right? And why? Why should we trust in the Lord? Here's a verse I also found that I think gives us a beautiful imagery of it. I'll read it to you. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and do not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. And do not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Whoa. Patrick, you love agriculture, right?
Yes.
So, is this a good location for your tree to be planted?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's right next to water, right? Josh talked about it in his message, but water gives life. And the Lord is our water. He is the one that gives us that type of life. I mean, think about it, right? The verse says, the tree will not fear when heat comes. Okay, let's take this and say, okay, what are some types of heat in our life? Well, how about some trials? How about some tribulations? How about some persecutions? How about just tough times? That is heat. Heat kills a plant if it is not well protected. And in the same way, we as Christians, there could be a lot of heat blasting on us that can hurt us, right? But this type of tree that trusts in the Lord will not fear of any heat. Same thing with a year of drought. Plants need water. We all learned this in elementary school or even before. But water, once again, gives life. And without water, the plant's just gonna die. So we know from the promise of God that if you trust in the Lord, you will not fear the times of drought, the times where it seems like you're just going to fall flat on your face, because the life of God is always flowing to you, right? Okay, next, please. Oh, no. So part of trusting in God is He is our Father, right? And a father will discipline those he loves. And there's a verse for this. In the same chapter of Proverbs, literally a couple verses after, it says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights." Raise your hand if you love discipline. Oh, got some people doing this. All right. Well, I think you will learn to love discipline if you realize that hopefully it is for your own good, right? In the meantime, it's not fun at all. And when we walk with the Lord and we learn to trust Him with all our heart, He's going to be like, okay, but my son, because I love you so much, I'm going to bring some things into your life that will feel kind of uncomfortable at first. Things that you'll be asking me, "Father, why is this happening? I thought you loved me. I thought you cared. What's going on?" But these are all for our greater good, and these will actually make us more like His Son Jesus. So let me just tell you guys a quick story of how I got disciplined. This was a quite harsh discipline I received from the Lord last fall. So I had just moved into college at this time, and I was going through orientation, and I looked at my phone, just got an email, and my PayPal account — PayPal is a place where you can hold some money, right? And PayPal, they sent me an email that said, "Somebody changed your password. If this wasn't you, do all this." And then I got another email: "Somebody changed your email to your account. If this wasn't you, do all this." I'm like, wait, I did not do that. So I go ahead, open up the PayPal app, and sure enough, I couldn't log in. I tried everything. I even tried to reset my password, but guess what? Somebody had hacked into my account and reset everything. They reset my account email, so I couldn't even recover my passwords or change the passwords. I was totally helpless. And this whole process of getting my whole account back, it took a whole month of contacting customer support and praying a ton about it. But after 30 days, you know, I finally got everything back. And I was actually quite thankful. I said to the Lord, "Thank you. Thank you for disciplining me. Because this whole time, I didn't know I needed it, but I was starting to fall in love with money. Just a little bit." And the Lord used this incident where somebody had hacked into my PayPal account to go ahead and show me, "Ryan, my son, money, it can only bring you temporary joy. It can be taken away just like this with a hacker. and then it's gone. You can spend all your life working for money, but what is it going to amount to, right? It can be taken away just like that. And so don't put your hope in it. Don't put your trust in it. Trust in me. So, thanks, Josh. Once again, I bring up the theme verse, right? Trust in the Lord. Actually, let's read this all together, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. All right, thank you guys. So, once again, I think I shared a little bit about this in the beginning where this verse really does mean a lot to me. And the reason I want to share it in front of all of you guys, both young and old, is because I believe that it is so true. And I've seen it in my own life that it is a reality. Because it doesn't do any good for me to just pick out a cool motivational quote from the Bible and blast it at y'all without me having to actually experience it. So, all right, slide. So here, we're going to get into a little bit of a story time. I'm going to share some evidence in my life of the Lord just answering my prayers. So boom. All right, so as you guys may know, this past fall, I went ahead and went to college for the first time to attend my freshman year. And so there's a picture of me. Just, you know, I look very happy and everything. This was my first day of moving. Fun fact, though, I had zero friends at that time. I didn't know many people at all that went to this college. And even funner fact, I took this picture myself. You would think it was be my mom or my 6-foot dad, but no. I set my phone up on a closet, and I just posed awkwardly as the timer went down. Deep, 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 bing. And that's how we got that photo. So going into college, right, I was kind of nervous. It was a whole new world and all this stuff. But the most important thing I think I knew I needed were some good friends. Not just good friends, but some godly friends. Some friends that will lead me the way of the Lord. And so the whole summer, you know, while I'm a little scared of like all these college classes and all, they're going to be tough. How am I going to balance this and that? One thing I prayed about all the time, one thing I trusted the Lord with was, God, I need some godly friends when I get to college. Please, if it is your will, when I get there, surround me with people that will build me up. Surround me with people that will sharpen me as iron sharpens iron. So here's some, so you guys might be thinking to yourself, oh, Ryan, you just want some godly friends. That's cool. Maybe I don't need godly friends, though. But here's what the Bible says about friends. Boom. So, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers much. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good character. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. Ooh. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, in preparation with these slides, I had to cut out a ton of verses, but I can go on and on and on about the Bible saying that we need to surround ourselves with good people. Not just good people, but godly people. And so, going into college, I was like, yeah, so I know how easily it is to make friends at college, but I want some genuine friends. You know, those friends that they're a little harder to find. Some friends that not only say they are Christian, but actually live out a life reflected in the Bible, right? And so that, because I will say, guys, in college, there are a lot of people that will say, oh, yeah, I'm Christian. I was raised up in church. But you just take a look at their life, examine the fruits, and you will see very quickly, are you really a Christ follower? Or are you just somebody who uses the name of Christ? So anyways, I went ahead and prayed a ton, as you guys know. And praise the Lord. Here's a couple photos. Once again, I struggled with just compiling all of these because I had just too many photos. And I was like, okay, which one should I keep? Which one should I delete? But I don't want you guys to focus too hard on the photos themselves, but just know that the Lord, throughout this year, you know, it wasn't the first day at college where I arrived where the Lord just blessed me with a ton of great friends. No, it was a process. It was like little by little, week by week, I would make this one friend, and then another week, another friend. And then by the end of the year, I can look back on my phone and I see all these photos. You know, the Lord has surrounded me with so many wonderful brothers that we can do so many things together with. We can play basketball, we can go out to eat, one awesome thing is we read the Bible every single week, and continuing on during the summer, we even have our own Bible study every Tuesday online. That's something so special. But this is a group of guys that the Lord has ensured and blessed me with to the point where I don't have to eat any dinner alone. Every single time I go to the dining hall, I just send in a text to the group chat, and boom. As you guys can see, there's some photos where we're all eating, you know. That's so joyous. And that is the Lord answering prayers. Now, you might say, oh, Ryan, you went to a college and you got connected with a Christian community there and voila, you have great friends. No, that's not the case. Just because I got connected with some campus ministries, oh, this was definitely the work of the Lord. Because previous groups like this, previous small groups, have all failed. It's really sad, but they would just meet together one day a week, read the Bible, and then don't see each other until next week. But this is a group of guys that we hold each other accountable for, you know, reading the Word daily, and we confess our sins to one another. Like, this has been, it has to be the work of the Lord. It's nothing else. It's not any work of man or any campus ministry that has been able to do this. This is the work of the Lord. So, next. While I was preparing for the sharing, one thing that popped in my mind, as you guys are already reading, is if we trust God with our eternity, why do we sometimes struggle to trust Him with small life matters? You know, salvation, eternity, it's the biggest deal. It is the greatest concern as humans we should have. So, you know, I would say a majority of us in this room, we're saved and we're walking with the Lord, but we still sometimes, you know, I myself very included, I'm very guilty of becoming anxious and not being able to always trust the Lord. For example, let's just say I have an interview with somebody coming up next week, okay? That interview will then go ahead and determine this. But in the large scope of things, what I think of is a very important interview is really not that much in eternity, right? Because you and I, our lives right now on earth, believe it or not, it's just a speck of our existence. And then the rest of eternity, it's with the Lord. So right now, I see our time on earth as our training ground for what's to come in eternity. Because I had a conversation with somebody the other week where, surprisingly, they thought we were just going to be floating around in clouds in heaven. And I'm like, no, that's so boring. We would not be doing that. It would be so much greater. And so we must realize that everything that we have, all the cares, all the worries, we can give it to the Lord. Here are some verses to back me up once again. Boom. So the Bible, once again, says that, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. All right, ready? Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And then here's another verse that will resonate with most of you guys in this room. Even to your old age, I am he. Even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. So we know here that God promises that we can cast everything on him. All our worries. Maybe you have a driver's license test coming up. One of you old ones, right? Cast that worry on the Lord and he'll take care of it. And once again, we know that even to old age, the Lord will sustain us and deliver us from our troubles. Okay? So next, please. So here's what God wants you to know. None of us are perfect. Everyone around you, we're all broken people. We're all people that are here because of the grace of God. And I want to let you guys know, you know, because, you know, even for me personally, it's pretty easy to go through a hard week, but then just come here and put on a smile for a couple hours and pretend everything's okay. But guys, you don't have to hide anything, and especially you don't have to hide anything before the Lord, because he knows deep down our hearts. He knows what's going on. And so realize that none of us have to perfect ourselves to actually come to God. You know, you see that picture of the prodigal son and his father, right? The reason I chose this was because the image is that the prodigal son, he was living where the pigs were. So he's probably smelly, stinky, just disgusting. But when he came back to the father did not say to him, "Oh, son, welcome back. First, go and shower. Then we'll go ahead and throw a feast." No, the father saw his son probably, you know, hasn't washed his hair in like months and probably is just reeking of just pigs. He saw his son and he said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe for him." And that's exactly what Christ did for us. Christ is that robe of righteousness for us. And the Father, he saw us in our just disgusting state. And he said, "My son, I love you so much. Here, let me put on Christ for you. Now, you are robed in my best, most beautiful robe." And so, here's another analogy, right? You never clean yourself before you hop in the shower. Therefore, why in the world do we think that in order to go to God, we have to take care of these sins, take care of all this stuff that's going in my life? No, God just wants you to come to him how you are. And then when you come to him, when you trust in him, when you walk with him, he will transform you. He will make you more like Jesus. It's not us who are able to go ahead and just first tidy up and then come to God and be like, "Okay, God, I'm ready to be in your presence now." Please do not make the mistake, my friends. The Lord just wants us to come and he will cleanse us, right? So, boom. Thank you. Here are some more promises of God that, you know, I hope will be able to show you that he really does care for you, and he has taken care of all of your sins. So I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may not be at a place right now where you're like, "I'm completely trusting in God." And believe me, I'm not either. But the Lord just wants you to know that He has made you clean. Therefore, you can just come to Him. Don't worry about all these other things. Don't hesitate to come to Him. Because, number one, our culture, once again, it tells us that you can help yourself. And we know that to be a lie. We cannot help ourselves. So we have to come to God. God is the only answer, right? So, to those who, you know, who, and just to encourage everyone, keep on seeking God in His Word. Read His Word, meditate it, memorize it, because it is God's promise for you and I. You know, Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." That's such a wonderful promise that His Word shows us the way in which we are to walk. So, lastly, to conclude, there's a song that... So there's a song that's like "Trust and Obey." And I think the lyrics are just... they're easy to memorize, and they just kind of remind us when things do get tough, we just sing it to ourselves. And this kind of summarizes everything I just said. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much how we are not called to cleanse or perfect ourselves when we come to You, but You call us to You when we are broken and we are in need. And so, Lord, when You tell us to trust in You with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding, Lord, help us to have the faith to be able to live it out. Help us to see in our lives that You are the one who cares for us, so we can go ahead and put all of our cares on You. We can tell You everything because You know us in and out. You know us better than ourselves, Lord. Renew us and make us more like Your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.